Welcome to Adventist Waves.
Calling all Adventist audio creators. Have a question about podcasting, music production, or audio engineering? We're here to help. Join our monthly Q&A sessions on YouTube starting August 7th, where we'll tackle your burning questions and share our expertise. Let's connect, learn, and grow together. Send your questions to khan@bluevineyard.com and tune in for answers and insights. Join us as we continue exploring Linus Wee's journey, the sound engineer of Loud Voice. I went there myself after I was invited to come and show Linus how I go about mixing music. This is part of my work with Blue Vineyard. We provide consultation services for people looking to up their audio game. Find out more on our website today. Now, let's explore some of Linus's setup, some challenges and lessons that he learned along the way. Now, we enter Linus's studio setup. Listen close as he shares about his studio.
I've got multiple components that I work with. The brain of my studio is, I'm actually using a Presonus Studio Live 32. It used to be Presonus Quantum 2626, but then because of COVID, then we started to have more live singing inside here, and it's hard to mix with do live sound with a mouse because you're limited with one pointer. So we decided to invest in a bigger level mixer that we can better do live mixing. So I use Presonus Studio Live 32 as my audio interface, and because it has multiple outputs, I'm also able to use multiple monitors to check my mix as well. So the monitors that I'm using are Adam A7Xs. These are my first and only, because how I got them was previously I did some small job at a company that was cleaning up soundtracks. Like, they would convert from tapes, and then I would be, yeah, and then I really liked the sound. And these A7Xs sound, number one, they sound really good, and they have a very good stereo imaging. Like, if I move the panning around, I'm able to literally track where the sound goes. And the most important thing is that I can listen to them for the entire day and my ears will not get fatigued. I use another monitor set for the Yamaha NS10s. These are the ones over here. But I actually almost don't use them. Yeah, so I used to try to, reference your mixers, this and that, but my best reference now is my handphone. I would just drop the mixers over to my handphone and just listen it through there. If it's fine, because most people, they will probably just use their handphone, so that's the best reference for it. The main microphone that I have is actually a Neumann U87. Each of this is actually each of this piece of hardware is actually a testimony on, like, I always tell people, God is my shopping agent, I will do my research on what are the good ones to get, like what are the possible ones, and then he will give me a link, like sometimes an eBay link or like other Shopee link or whatever, that somehow it seems like a too good to be true offer, and then when I click on it, it's actually true. So yeah, these Neumann U87s, I bought them for almost half the price, and they are still extremely good. They sound really, really nice on almost everything, like instruments, cellos. Normally people don't use them for like instruments, but somehow over here it seems to work. And it's plugged into a tube preamp called a Presonus ADL600. It's a double channel tube preamp that, yeah, somehow warms up the voice as well. So this combo, I didn't experience it before I bought it. I just read some reviews and somehow God just gave me the link for it. So it was also much cheaper than when I bought it for as well. Yeah, then there are other things. We are basing it on a Mac Pro, which recently got some corruption issues. So I'm using a laptop, the M3 Max, the Apple M3 Max for now. Yeah, that will be more or less the setup that I use for my recording. I'm a pianist, so I love keyboards. And one more thing is that I'm very particular about the touch of a keyboard. Like, because if it doesn't feel right, somehow it doesn't sound right. I have a friend that actually donated his keyboards, and he bought this recent one for Loud Voice. It's one of the latest, not stage four.
Very, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, it's a very, and yeah. I love the touch. Like, mm. I came from the Yamaha Motif XS7. It's actually a synth style key, but it's a very soft key bait, but I really liked I started arranging on that, so my fingers are very used to that already. So even when I play like the weighted keys, like behind there's the Montage 8 and there's the Roland RD2000. Mm. Yeah, but somehow weighted keys make my fingers feel tired. So this stage 4 is really perfect for, somehow it's perfect for me. Yeah, so I really appreciate a friend that donated it as well.
It's a blessing. Really.
Yeah. So every single, and over here we have the headphone amplifier, because previously we only could have three outputs, but with this one, I think it's the what is it? Mackie.
Mackie, yeah.
Yeah, there's a Mackie that has 12 outputs.
12, oh.
8 in front, or 4 in front, or is it 8 in front?
4 in front.
Yeah, 4 in front, and then 8 behind.
The 4-channel headphone amp.
Yeah.
But you have a 6-channel headphone amp.
Yeah, but
too.
That one, the one below there, the Rolls one, right?
Yeah.
The power adapter doesn't work, so it's just for looks. Yeah, so that is what I use for the recording. There's another whole set that is in the live room that is for the live singing. We've got like a multi, I think like 10 channel, like 10 wireless mics, that kind of thing, that gets all routed into this Studio Live through a stage box, through a single Ethernet cable. Yeah, so that's really a game changer, because previously I had to have like a 48 channel snake that was so heavy, and I had to link everything in, whereas now with like digital mixers, it's just one Ethernet cable, and then over there it's much streamlined and also very easy to move around. Sometimes we do events, and then we just bring this, the snake, and then the
mobile events set up as well.
Yeah, so so that's God has really prepared us for all this. Like 2 weeks ago, we had an event in a church, in a big hall, and the entire sound system was just one powered mixer with like two huge speakers that had no treble, just ton of bass. So what we brought was that I brought this Studio Live, the stage box, the microphones, and we have a Bose line array inside. So I use the Bose line array as majority of the treble. And then those two were just my subwoofers going. In the mixer, I just tuned down all the treble, so there was only the bass that was coming out. Perfect. Yeah. So thank God for all of that as well.
Hey Adventist Waves listeners, we are so glad that you're tuning in. Before we dive back into today's episode, I wanted to take a moment to tell you about our amazing community on Patreon. If you're enjoying Adventist Waves, you'll love connecting with other like-minded Seventh-day Adventist musicians, sound engineers, and podcasters on our Patreon page. For as little as $5 a month, you can join the community, get access to exclusive content, and directly support the creation of this podcast. Plus, at higher tiers, you can even get more perks like early access to podcasts, question and answer sessions with guests, and even shout-outs on the show. So, if you're ready to dive deeper into the Adventist Wave community, head over to patreon.com/AdventistWaves. Your support means the world to us, and we can't wait to welcome you to the Adventist Waves family. The path to becoming a sound engineer is a journey. Linus considers himself to be more of a musician than a sound engineer. But yet this is a skill that he still wants to develop.
I actually don't see myself as an engineer. I see myself as a musician. Because
you're more creative and musician powers.
Like what we talked about previously,
I
use a compressor, but I'm a preset person, you know? I just go through the preset and, hey, this sounds nice. Why does it sound nice? I don't know, but you know, I'm just using it, this and that. I'm sure there are a lot of ways that An engineer might not, you know, you should do this. Ah, you didn't consider that. But I'm like, it sounded nice to me. That's why I used it. So that's actually something that I hope to learn. Like the engineering part of sound engineering, because I would still consider myself as just a musician. I make all my decisions because it sounds good, and therefore I do it.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah. I think as an engineer, that can be a blessing, because like myself, or someone who's more technically minded, I don't really consider myself to be a very good listener, you know? So I really appreciate people like you who have that ability to say, okay, this sounds good. And as an engineer, you have to have that, you know? You have to be very critical.
Yeah. So that's why I think, because for me, I've relied too much on my ears. If one day my ears start to lose its functionality or whatever, I'll be at a total loss. Whereas, like, you know, like Beethoven? Yeah. Beethoven wrote it when he was deaf, right? Or was he blind?
Sure.
So yeah, anyway, he lost one of his senses, but he could still make music. Yeah. So I always believe, like, you know, like in the Christian life, you have to walk the balanced route of musicianship as well as engineering, and find the correct mix, and that would really be because that, like, sometimes if I were just to fully swing towards musicianship, of course I might know the outcome might still be the same, but I might not know the right principles. Because one day, if let's say, like, musicians, sometimes they can get very creative. If their creative juices are not flowing, and then they are useless. Whereas if let's say I still have the science to be able to, like, back it up, to, like, if I'm a principal, if I know the principles of doing things, I can still function as a sound engineer, something like that.
I think a part of a role as engineer is he's someone who finishes the work, you know. Like, the musicians are more like the creative people who come up with all the ideas, and then the engineer says, okay, that's not good, we'll keep it like this, take that out, put this in, you know. They're the people who are supposed to make the finishing product appeal to their market, right?
Yeah, and that's actually what I want to grow towards, because now I can make it sound good, but it might just be 70% of the best that it can sound. I believe as sound engineer would be able to push it up to like 80-90%, because for me, I don't really tweak much of the sounds, but like, if I mean, that's why there's a term sound engineering, right? You are engineering the sound. They say if you could make the vocal sound in this way, you know, you should EQ this that way, it would bring out, I believe that musicianship would like create 80% or maybe 70%, the actual engineering can actually bring it way past that. If like, if I were to have someone improve on my sound, I wouldn't ask another musician to come in, because I'm really doing that. I would ask a sound engineer to come in, and then he will be able to open up the mix, or he'll be able to make it sound even better. That's where. But then if you only had a sound engineer,
and no creative input.
Yeah, so you might not have. So I believe these two really go
hand in hand.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's kind of like why we are trying to build this community of sound engineers and musicians. So then both can collaborate together and improve each other's work, because without each other, then we're just an island with no boat, going nowhere. I guess I'm not sure if that's a good illustration, but, you know, it's like you're stuck in the island. You have no one to help, you know. You can put out your red flags all you want, but there's no one coming. So if we can have a place where we can collaborate together, where we can discuss these issues together, then, you know, we'll be able to achieve 10 times more than we possibly could do alone.
And especially if you have a musician that is Adventist and knows about the principles and the type of music that, like the music principles and this kind of thing, and you have a sound engineer that is also Adventist that have the same beliefs, they can achieve much together. Whereas if you had a musician that is, let's say, you get a secular musician to do certain things, and then you say, oh, I don't like this kind of music, but it's like, I don't know how to do anything else. Or like, let's say you Adventist musician were to go to a secular recording studio, but they are only used to mixing secular music. They might not be so attuned to like, oh, I'm not sure how to bring out the best in this kind of music, you know. So that's where we need Adventist people with the same mind, with the same principles to be able that if we can work together, that would really be the best. Mm. Yeah.
Makes me think, maybe I won't put this in a podcast, but it makes me think that like sometimes when Adventist musicians go to these recording studios and stuff and they say, look, we have all these songs, we've been doing these tours for such a long time, and they go to the recording studios and the engineer says, they're good songs, but man, you need to put some of this in there. You need to put some of these elements in there that, you know, and then slowly the artist starts to compromise and now their sound begins to change because they're using these audio engineers that have more of a leaning towards one type of genre, which is attracting a certain type of people. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, like we were using food just now, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you only know how to cook Korean food and then a Chinese chef comes to you, how do I improve my music? Definitely you will base it on using certain elements that you already have. Oh, use some, put some gochujang in there, and then you put some kind of this pepper, that pepper, and then ultimately you want to create Chinese food, but then it becomes a fusion. And then if you keep learning from the Korean chef, after a while you will end up cooking Korean food. So it's the same thing. If you constantly go to, let's say, I'm not saying that they are bad or whatever, but if you constantly go to people like, you know, there are churches that, like Seventh-day Adventist churches that always look towards Sunday churches and say, oh, you know, they are doing that, therefore we should do this. They are doing that, therefore... And I've made the reference that, oh, you are learning from Babylon, you will become Babylon after a while. Mm. But, I mean, that might be true to a certain extent, but if... I always believe that in all our decisions, in all our practices in life, we must always be guided by the Spirit. Mm. What does God say? And it's true that they have a lot of good techniques out there. But when we, like, even when I was in the school, I was taught on how to mic up drums. I was taught on how to mix drums, this and that. But then I really knew in my heart that wouldn't be something that I will be using here because it might not be suitable for our target audience here. So then I still do have that knowledge. But then along the way, I use the principles that I've learned from there on how I can mix or how I can arrange those kind of, like, how I can arrange our kind of music here so that it doesn't feel like something is missing with from that aspect, but then it still sounds full, it still sounds like you didn't create a finished product and then suddenly take away something, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Linus loves music, and it's out of this that drives him to make really interesting compositions. Keep listening as he shares how his signature sound came about.
You know, I've heard people tell me this. Oh, I listened to that. I know it's from you. But I've actually never really understood what... Like, I've never scientifically, like, crafted out, this is Linus' sound, you know? Like, even in my car, if you were to listen to my playlist, it's all my music. Because I play the type of music that I enjoy listening to. And if, like... I would listen to somebody else's song once and then I'm like, oh, okay, it's nice. Or it might be even be like very nice, but I wouldn't listen to it again for a while. Mm. Whereas for my song, normally for my arrangements, like I would arrange it, but then the feeling of wanting to listen more is always there after I finish listening to it. You know, there are certain chefs that they linking to food again. There are certain chefs that they cook at a restaurant and then they come back and then they don't cook anymore because I'm really so tired of. Yeah. But then I cook because I like to eat the food that I cook. So at home, I will cook the food and eat it again, that kind of thing. And I wouldn't enjoy other people's food as much as I enjoy my own food. So the music that I create is the music that I like and the music that I listen to. So even if you, like, people have asked me, what if Loud Voice, you know, no money or whatever and closes down one day? Will you stop making music? I was like, no, because I would still continue making my own music because that is what I like listening to. Sometimes my own music inspires me even more. Like, for example, if let's say I play the piano part and then after that I layer on either with a guitar or strings, that music, you know, sometimes like when you let's say you play in a group and then somehow you feel that you're able to play better because their music makes you like, wow, you know, you really get into the mood and then you can sing better. that is how my music affects me. So especially with like big arrangements, and then I feel like, wow, I'm really enjoying what I'm arranging. Yeah, so because of that, then I'm able to like, it makes my creative juices flow even more. Not so much that I get a creative block. Yeah, something like that.
So you're just developing your ideas helps you to get it, get the full arrangement.
Yeah. So like my past self motivates my current self, and I play in a way that will motivate my future self. Something like that. Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful.
During my stay at Anan, Linus challenged me to mix a large arrangement. I helped them take the steps to prepare for the mix, and then we started to mix it. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, but when I asked him to share two arrangements that highlight the artistic side of his work, this was the song he described, Christmas Bucket List.
It's Christmas when it snows outside. Really?
No.
You know it's time when Christmas trees are inside.
Yeah. No.
You know it's Christmas when the song starts to play. How can I feel Christmas in this hot, sweaty day? You know it's Christmas when the gifts are wrapped. You know it's Christmas when the malls are so packed.
Sorry, coming through.
It's kinda hard to feel the season when it's wet here.
Great.
Is there more to Christmas than it all appears?
I can't think about any off my mind, but I can only just reference back to the one that we just experienced this morning. So Christmas Bucket List is an original composition that because we launched the YouTube channel, right? So we found one of the very few videos that we did was Christmas medley, and we realized that nearing to Christmas time, the videos picked up a lot, and so we were like, okay, let's just do an original song for one of these years. Then we did this song just now, just before lunch. We went through the various parts. It was quite a huge amount of parts, but you saw over there were like strings, there were guitar parts, bass parts, background parts that were in a mess everywhere. So, but that was actually one of the songs that I would always go back to. Like, you know, sometimes either when I'm in the car or when I'm just in the bathing in the toilet and I just want something to listen to, I would have a playlist of all the Loud Voice songs, but I will always choose Christmas Bucket List because, yeah, I guess I like the song a lot, but it was also because the entire process of writing the song, arranging the song, singing the song, it was very, it gave me a lot of pleasure, it gave me a lot of fun. If you were to say, what is one song that would describe me, Linus, I would say it's a Christmas Bucket List. Because, I mean, if you look at the lyrics, it's hilarious. Like, how can you feel Christmas in this hot, sweaty day? This and that. So it really brings out that quirky personality, and of course there are other songs that I do enjoy, and also like we also heard certain background parts, right? Like you heard me singing as a lady and using my falsetto and all that kind of things. And it's a very fun thing, and I think that's why in Loud Voice I have this creative freedom to do things that I like to do, and that things that God has placed in me, that like he has placed his interest, and of course he has equipped me with the talent to do so. So just within this song alone, ultimately the bottom line for Christmas Bucket List is, yes, Christmas is Christmas, but then we have to remember who, in a way, who gave us Christmas. Like what should we really think about when we think of Christmas? And ultimately the appeal was that, you know, we should learn to love each other, we should serve as Jesus did, that kind of thing.
The
The other song that I want to highlight is the song The Mission, because we then talk about like the different aspects of instrumentation, right? So there's the piano, there's the orchestra, there's the strings, there's the woodwinds, there's the percussion. And one aspect that I feel the type of music that I have that is might be a bit different from conventional Adventist music is that I sometimes use synthesizers. Like we have various types of like synthesizers. It's like there are soundscapes, there are arpeggios.
Can you explain what a synthesizer is for those people out there who do not know what a synthesizer is?
Not an actual instrument.
It's like a tone generator.
Yeah, it's like a tone generator that gets modeled through different types of filters that creates different textures and that kind of thing. I don't really go too much into like the actual synth thing. I just use like a particular plugin from Logic, and I just they have whole list of instruments that I just go one by one and I try. Oh, is this sounds nice? That sounds good. Or this one fits over here, and then I just add it to the entire song. So one example was actually this song, The Mission. There's this line that says, "As aliens and strangers, I think upon this foreign land in this foreign land," and the lyrics actually, but it gave me an inspiration. Why don't I find something related to like alien sound? Of course, we are not like the aliens like ET or that kind of thing, but it somehow has a representation that is not something that is that we are not of this world. So I literally went to the synth engine and I searched alien. And then one by one I listened, and then there was this part that it created a kind of interesting effect, and I thought this would be very nice to place over here. So then that was where throughout the entire song you can hear that there are certain elements of synths that they are not very prominent, but they just add to the entire effect. And it's not something that to me it wouldn't be something that like I placed in there as an afterthought, but it was carefully considered and placed in there to create an entire experience that, that the music actually reflects something that the lyrics will talk about and that kind of thing. Yeah, so this will be the two pieces that I would like to highlight. One is the Christmas Bucket List to, in a way, this is Linus' style of music, like the fun in the happy, but yet there's a particular message that I want to bring out. And the other one is The Mission, that an example that using the lyrics of a song, the lyrics is one medium, but actually the music that goes with the lyrics can also help to enhance the entire experience of the song as well.
Loud Voices Music has developed thanks to Linus's creative input. Now you will hear some sound advice for Adventist creators.
If you were to ask me what two things that I would absolutely not be willing to give up, one is my mindset of never wanting to settle. We all have our hit and miss days. Some days we are super on to do something. Mm. There are some days like, let me just, finish and just get it done with. Yeah, but for me, I think that's a type of pride that I have as a musician, because ultimately the music that is on Loud Voice is the music that I create, and it will be heard by hundreds, thousands, but I wouldn't want, and ultimately, and deeper than that, it's not just my music, it's something that I'm representing the talents that God has given to me. Mm-hmm. And if people were to hear that and say that, that doesn't, I don't want people to have the emotion, the impression that Linus didn't give his all for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it would not only, my pride is, it might hurt my pride, but that's not as important as misrepresenting God. Because if God gave, the story about talents, yeah. God gave you 5 talents, and then if you only used one or you buried it, God, it's not a good representation of how you used your time. So if God gave you 5 talents, you have to do your best with it. You have to make sure, it's not really make sure, but as long as you gave your best, that will be something that God will be happy with. So to me, if I gave, if it was something that I did not give my best in, I would not want to release it. So that would be the first thing that I would not be willing to let go of, which is...
So it's almost like quality.
Yeah.
Like having a good standard of quality.
Yeah.
In your work.
And it's to have that assurance that I gave my all. That would be the first thing that I would not want to give up as a sound engineer. If I were to compare myself with one of some of the extremely established sound or established musicians out there, I would constantly be discouraged, right? But then, I think everybody has their own journey that they grow every day. Like we were just talking about the Christmas bucket list. As we were going through the mix, I was like, huh, how come there's no automation on the horns or the strings? Why do they sound so flat? There's no increase in volume or decrease in that. Then we were looking at the background vocals. Didn't I synchronize that already? How come it wasn't synchronized? Then I realized that at that point in time, it wasn't as important to me. Like, I did not know how to automate strings, or I did not realize that automation of strings is so important. So that was me at that period of time. But if you told me to do that song again, I would do it differently. So that was, it's like taking a photo. Maybe last time I had longer hair or I had shorter hair. And I was thinking like, you know, you cannot compare yourself with others and prevent yourself from doing that particular thing. So as long as at that point of time, if you are willing, if you have assured yourself that you have done your best, then that is important really. It's not so important on that how people look at you. Of that being said, feedback is very important. Like, if at that point of time, maybe I had sent this to you, and then you told me, you should have done this, da da da, I shouldn't take that feedback as like, oh, you know, it's so bad, then I stopped doing it. But I would take that feedback and improve myself at that point of time. Yeah, but then I cannot look at the work that you are doing and use that as an example to discourage myself from not doing it.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, it's always good to look at other people's stuff, and it kind of helps you to set your bar a bit higher. Mm. It happens to me all the time. Is there anything else?
Yeah, so, and you realize this is not gear-related nor software-related.
It's more of a...
Yeah, so that's the mindset that I have to always assure yourself that you have given your best. Mm. The second thing is actually something that I was born and cultivated along the way, which are my ears. Mm. So hearing is extremely important for sound engineers. And there are people that are born with good ears, and there are people that train their ears. So, like in music, normally we talk about perfect pitch and relative pitch, right? I was actually born with perfect pitch. Yeah, but because my ears were in a way also a kind of curse to me, because of my strong ears, my eyes were not very keen to read, like sight read things. But along the way, then I had to find that balance to, you know, like, as because sometimes if let's say we had to learn a new hymn, we needed to read as well. Yeah. So now I've trained my eyes to also learn how to quickly sight read things. But I think the ears are something that I'm constantly using as well as improving as well to be able to like to reach higher standards. And I think one thing that I'm constantly training it is by, like you mentioned about referencing other people's works, right? Yeah. So like, let's say we listen to other music or people's works that they have done, or maybe like even when somebody is performing on stage. One thing that I've always had in me was to listen and copy. So like over here, like in the world, you know, you normally talk about patterns and all that kind of thing, right? But there's actually no patterns in music. You listen to it, you like it, you copy it, and then after a while it becomes your own style and that kind of thing. Yeah. So sometimes like the music that I listen on YouTube or wherever else it might be, when I hear maybe a certain chord progression or I hear a certain thing being used in a certain way, I was like, hey, that's interesting. And because my ears are able to pick out either the chord or like pick out either the instrument that they are using or the overall general vibe that the music is allowing me to experience, then I, in a way, I try to break that down in my mind, and I realize that, like, okay, maybe we're talking about food, right? Like, certain chefs, they will taste something, and then they will know what's the composition of, like, what are the herbs that are used inside. how much oil is being used, what type of oil, what type of flour. So as a musician, I think I've nurtured my ears to be able to break down what I hear. So like say what they did in a certain piece of music gave me this kind of experience. So what did they do? Then I was able to break that down and then in like try to replicate the kind of emotion, but not totally copy, but like create maybe 80% of what I heard and then add my own style to it or add my own flair to create that kind of thing as well. So those two things would be what I would hope that God will never remove from me or I by my own decisions remove from myself, which is my the mindset that I have to always give the best to the Lord and also to always give the best to the Lord and to never misrepresent Him in my work, as well as the constantly training my ears. Yeah.
If you're considering to become a sound engineer, now is the best time to start. The world is full of souls seeking for light, and God needs people who will produce high-quality music. Here's some ways that you can start today.
Just now, we were just talking about after you finish your high school or college, you know, you can choose the your career, right? Then we're talking, normally there's like the IT route that you can go for IT degree or like electrical engineering or mechanical engineering, or you can do accountancy, or you can do law or medicine. But you don't often see that, oh, I'd like to do sound engineering. It's not something that, it's usually, sound engineering usually like, it's like a afterthought. Like after you had your actual job, then you say, oh, it's something nice that I like to do, so I go and learn sound engineering.
Yeah, like I think of sound engineering as more of like a way for me to give my, to do publishing, to share the message of the three angels, which is my purpose and my calling as a Christian, is to be able to share my faith. So I consider that to be kind of part of that. And then I have another job, for example, I did my carpentry study, I did my pastoral degree. That's kind of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so like most sound engineers that I know or I've talked with, they have like their actual job. Like I did their doctors, then their interest, then they built their own studio because they've earned some money. Or is that they already have some experience either in church or whatever with like live sound when they were already working on their jobs, and then they realize that hey, this is more interesting, then they choose to go with that career. So it's not every day that, I mean, there is no natural career progression for a student to go from high school to college to sound engineering, which I'm not sure why. Maybe it's like because maybe you need to either have a particular interest or like this morning we were doing mixing. It's hard work. It's sometimes it is a bit tedious, especially, you know, if somebody gives you tracks that are all over the place. It's hard to get everything organized, and sometimes it can be boring, it can be draining. Like imagine you exporting one track after another, and there are 100 tracks for you, you must do it one after another. It's yeah, but then you know the thing that drives me is the end product, that like the hard work that we put in now, we are able to see where it ends up, and we always tell ourselves that it will get better. And usually if we follow things in a sequence, it does get better. That's where we get that our that is how like mixing, there's always a sequence for it, right? As compared to if you just do everything and just try to do anything, you might not get there. So it's very true, especially with, if let's say you do have a particular interest, like sometimes when I go for conferences, then I meet like musicians or pianists, then I'll always ask them this question: have you thought of doing digital music? Normally the first response is, what is that? Yeah, so then I'll show them like our Loud Voice channel or this and that, and then they'll be like, oh, you can do such things. So a lot of times people don't realize that the interest is there, but then they always think that, oh, I need to go to a recording studio, yeah, or I need to invest in a lot of gear, or I don't have the talent to do that. That might be true back in the 80s or 90s, but now you can get a mic, audio interface, a set of headphones for like maybe less than 300 USD, something like that. And then if you're talking about, oh, I don't have the vocal prowess to pull off a solo. Spoiler alert, there are lots of vocal processing techniques that you can do to help yourself sound nicer in a song. But then I think if you are already a musician that you are able to accompany somebody, they're almost, and if you do have an interest towards like sharing your music online, there's almost no excuse for you not to go into this kind of music production, because like based on the tracks that we heard, like The Mission, Christmas Bucket List, I was just telling Khan that I'm actually a one-man choir, a one-man orchestra, a one-man band or whatever kind of thing, that everything is all just done by myself. And it just so happened that other people, we managed to collaborate with other people that could sing as well. So there's really so much more that can be done. And the excuse for, there's no course for me to enroll to learn this, that excuse doesn't work anymore, because with YouTube, you can learn so many things, right?
YouTube is available, you can just check out and learn all the skills.
And even now today, I'm still learning from YouTube. I'm subscribing to like various mix engineers, their channels, and learning from there. And there's really so much to learn from. All we need really is that desire and that interest to want to do it. Yeah, so if you already have that interest and that desire to want to do it, there's so much resources for you to learn from. Or you can reach out to us. We can also very much, we would be thrilled to help you along your way as well.
That's right. How can our audience get in touch with you?
Do a little plug. So Loud Voice, we are a YouTube channel on, so you can reach out to us through our YouTube channel, or like in Facebook, we've got the Loud Voice. You can just search Loud Voice together, and then, or you can email us at support@loudvoice.com. The email will literally just pop up in my phone and you can just directly get in touch with me that way. And you could also say like, I heard the podcast and I've got this interest, where do I start? And then we could just get started like that already.
One thing that I'm trying to encourage people to do with the podcast is that if they have any content, say like if they're releasing a new video on Loud Voice or if they're releasing a video on whatever channel that they're on, if they tag Adventures Waves on it, on their reels, then we can actually post that on into our Instagram channel. So then other people can also see your work as well. So thank you so much for coming on the
Most
podcast.
Welcome. Thank you for coming here.
Linus, anytime.
Is this your first face-to-face podcast?
On this podcast, my first face-to-face. Yeah, so I really enjoy it because it's much more engaging.
Yeah.
And you can actually feel the conversation, not necessarily just hear it.
So. Yeah.
Of course, because I'm feeling the work here. So I really appreciate your skill and the work that you're doing here. Meeting with Linus at the Loud Voice Studio was a real blessing, and his ministry continues to inspire me. He likes to say collaboration is in his blood, so if you feel God is calling you to, why not reach out to him today? Thanks for listening to Season 1 of Adventist Waves. We have some exciting new content coming soon, including our next series, You Are the Light of the World, premiering October 6th. But before that, join us for our monthly question and answer sessions starting August 7. Have a burning question about Adventist music, podcasts, and audio? Send it to khan@bluevineyard.com. In the meantime, subscribe wherever you get this podcast. Leave a review to help us to grow. And share Adventist Waves with a fellow audio lover. We can't wait to share with you more exciting stories of Adventist audio professionals with you in our next season.
Adventist Waves,